Hey. Come on now. And now it's time for off-season reviews. And now your host, Rod or Karen.
Or both of them.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Off-Season Reviews. I am your host, Rod, and I am joined by
Karen.
And this is season four, part two of right, you black ass sons of bitches, The Walking Dead.
Woo-hoo!
Time to recap this shit. It's been too long. Mm-hmm. Last time we left, the governor had come to the prison and governated everybody.
Right.
And then he got his ass governated himself.
Yes, he did.
It took a combined effort of murder, but between Rick, his Michonne,
right,
and his ex boo, whose daughter he got killed, I believe it was Lily, they took care of him. So now we need to recap the last eight episodes of the season, because they always split it into two, we're gonna go character by character. Okay, this is the new format. Of course, the episodes were After Inmates Claim, Still Alone, The Grove, Us, and A. They were all pretty good, man. I personally enjoyed pretty much every episode of the second half of the season. I know that some people don't get down like that, but personally, I have no complaints.
Mm-mm.
But let's go by the cast. I think that's probably the best way to tackle this. You know, of course, we have some dead people, and we have some people that we didn't get to see, you know. So rest in peace, Amy. Rest in peace, Sophia. Dale. Gone T-Dog.
Shane.
Merle. All these people are now dead. Of course, we still, we didn't get to see Morgan Jones this half, but they did add some people of color, so I'm still fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Although I miss Morgan.
Right, act his ass off.
So let's go into different characters. We'll catch up. Oh, and yeah, rest in peace, Andrea. She's she's dead. You know, and of course, fuck Andrea. I hate her. She was the worst. Make up your mind.
And Lori, which everybody hates.
Yeah, Lori also was the worst. So we start off with the aftermath basically is that the prison has been destroyed and everybody's now scattered all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And the second half of the season basically evolves into some tight character drama, character driven stories that are about personal issues that people are facing, that is less of an ensemble cast.
Right.
And more of a, let's take two to three people and examine them in depth. I personally enjoyed this. The groups were all different, and how they met up and how they got separated was good. Tyrese is with the little girls, and he eventually meets up with Carol.
Right.
Sasha, Bob, and Maggie are together.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn is with, why am I forgetting the new girl's name? Big Tits, man. She was one of my favorites. But he's with the new girl, you know. I think it's Tara is her name. And they meet up with Abraham, Eugene, and Rosita.
Right.
So, you know, it's all these smaller groups. And a lot of people don't like this approach, but I love this approach because, one, it's tight, it's character-driven, it sticks to a story. We don't branch out, so we get to really know the people involved and what their struggle is for that single episode.
Right.
The other thing I liked about it is, if you really think about it, there's too many characters now to truly do a ensemble 1 hour thing. It would be all over the place.
Everywhere.
You know, there's just too many groups moving and doing things at the same time. So you need to take time out to introduce and reintroduce and, you know, also write some people out of the show.
Right.
Karen, what'd you think about the second half of the season overall before we go into each character?
I loved it. I liked that they broke the groups up. I like that the fact that whenever you break those groups up into smaller groups, it allows you to go into details. It allows you to give flashbacks. It allows you to make characters that were kind of second fiddle to the main characters. It allows you to bring them to the forefront and make them main characters, even if it's just for that episode. Mm-hmm. You know, it allows you to understand characters' motivations. It allows you to understand characters' frame of mind. And I think that, to me, it actually made more sense to break it up. I love the smaller episodes because it's like when they're in a group, yeah, you have fear, mm-hmm. but it's not the same fear as when they're in smaller groups.
Yeah, because there's less you can do against a horde of zombies.
Right.
More survival tactics. I also enjoyed that, you know, the way these were filmed, the scope and magnitude of, like, the tasks they were taking on. And you could see when they were split apart how the group had become very resilient and had gained a lot of skills. But you could also see how much more dangerous the world is when they don't have their group.
Right.
But when they're together, they are a very formidable group in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they will constantly be underestimated. But I guess let's go group by group, maybe.
Right.
It might be the best way to do it.
Group by group, but for the simple fact that they were split up into groups.
Yeah. So I'll start sequentially. And after has Michonne in a group by herself. And it starts with her basically making two new walker pets.
Right.
For camouflage. You know, she kills Herschel's head, which is still on the ground talking,
because
he got his head cut off. But as we know, zombies don't die unless it's brain trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So she basically killed a zombie Herschel, which is good, you know, so that he doesn't have to suffer for eternity, I guess. And she goes to make two new pets. So there's this idea, like, is Michonne going to just head out on her own? Like,
right.
She was a loner. She was the most lone of the group.
Mm-hmm.
She was the least dedicated to the group. She was always going out chasing after the governor. And it was kind of her softness eventually belonging to the group and deciding, like, hey, you know what? Daryl's right. I'm not going to go out looking for the governor anymore. I'm going to just try to become part of the group, and I'm going to befriend Carl and all this stuff. It was kind of that I think she could have turned on herself and started blaming herself. Like, I'm the reason the governor came back and did all this.
Right.
Cause I stopped looking for him. I stopped trying to kill him, and he was able to, like, amass power and come here and try to take over the prison. Mm-hmm. And now all these people are dead.
Right.
So I thought, yep, she's about to put on those walkers and go
back
out
to how she was before.
Yeah.
Right.
Meanwhile, Carl and Rick, a very beaten, broken down Rick. He barely survived his confrontation with the governor.
Right.
I mean, he's literally on his last legs, and Carl is being a complete dick.
Oh, he was such an ass.
Yeah, he's so angry towards his father. Keep in mind, they've lost the baby during all this scuttlebutt, so they don't know where the baby is.
Nope, so they assume that the baby's dead.
Yeah, and Carl is kind of blaming his father for, hey, you lost, my mom, now you lost the baby.
And the group is not there because Carl's thing was like, you wasn't a man. You know, you had me, basically, me put down my gun, you wanted to be a fucking farmer versus trying to protect the group.
Right, everybody ends up getting sick off the pigs and shit. Like, you just didn't do your job. And, you know, Rick is trying to tell Carl, like, slow down. And, you know, Carl's, like, just walking, ignoring him like it's nothing, you know? So Michonne actually finds Rick and Carl's footprints, and she starts like following them. And she has like, she has a dream or a flashback or something. Maybe
it was a dream.
Okay, it was a dream, and it was about like her life before the apocalypse with her husband and his friend, and they had a baby and all the shit they lost. And it really starts to make sense because she was holding Judith, I believe that's the baby.
Right, and just boohoo.
And she cried really hard last season. Everybody was like, what was that really about? Like, is she afraid to be happy? Is she? But we now know she had a baby and lost it during whatever the chaos was. So that sense of loss is there and it's so strong. And, you know, I believe it's after that dream where she realizes that, you know, these were her Walker pets.
I don't know if it was a husband or boyfriend, and his friend were her pets. Like that's who she had been walking around with. And I think once she had that, she was like, I can't do this anymore. I think she like killed them.
Yeah.
And then when she killed them, basically people, you know, the zombie, because she was in a big horde with them.
Yeah.
So basically all the other zombies started sniffing her out once she killed them.
Right.
And this was a beautiful scene. She literally took out like 15 or 20 of them all by her goddamn
self.
Man,
she is the baddest motherfucker in the game. One sword took out all those walkers, and it was like, you know, it really was some harrowing shit, because you just start feeling like anything could go wrong. She could trip. Zombie could just get the best of her from behind. The sword could get stuck or fall, and she just took them out like while she was exhausted, and till they stopped coming.
Right, and also I think too, it's almost like you felt her. The liberation. It's like she. It's like with each slice, you felt like, okay, she's just cutting herself free. She was like, yes. I refuse to go back. I will not be alone. I need people in my life.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Like you said, great scene. Greatly filmed. Well filmed, everything. Carl and his dad find a house. Rick passes the fuck out and doesn't wake up. Now, this is one of those moments where you're like, this is when Carl might feel like he has superpowers, because he's probably been wishing his dad would just die this whole time.
Right. It was even better. It was even bolder to say, ah, nigga, I wish you would die.
Right. And so his dad passed out and couldn't be woken up, like he was damn near dead.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl was suddenly a kid that wants to be an adult, but is stuck in zombie world.
Right.
Two zombies come knocking on the door like, what's up, dog? I heard you got people in here.
Right.
And so Carl, trying to be grown, is like, hey, let me go outside and lure them away.
Right.
And damn near gets himself killed. Like, yes, falls down. The zombies fall on top of him.
Right.
A third zombie comes out of nowhere, is trying to eat him, but it can't really get to him because it's on top of the other two zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's trapped and he ends up killing him, but, you know, runs out of bullets.
Barely.
Yeah. So he goes around and starts, scavenging for supplies and stuff like that. And you he's clearly by himself now.
Yeah.
And I think this is the episode where he went and got some pudding.
Right.
You know, like he was
wilding out.
They had some good music playing and shit, but he was like, you know, he ended up losing a shoe.
Right.
To a walker.
Right. I think one is, and then he was like, wrote on like the door, you almost got me, ha yeah. ha ha.
It was like, you got my shoe but didn't get me.
Right.
Cause he was in the house with the zombie, and the zombie almost ate him.
Right. He was like sitting on like the roof of a house
eating pudding.
Right.
With one shoe. And after a while, Rick, that night, who is been laying basically incapacitated all day, and we know how the zombie thing is. It takes a different amount of time for different people, but eventually you turn. So Rick starts moving and he's just groaning.
Mm-hmm.
And he reaches out to Carl, and Carl basically is like, damn, he turned into a zombie. So he pulls out his gun to shoot Carl. To shoot Rick.
Right, because he didn't know, because it was dark.
Finally, he has to admit that he's still a little kid because he couldn't kill his father.
Right.
And of all the shit that he's been talking about his dad, and you couldn't protect us, and you couldn't make the hard choices, he can't make the hard choice of killing the one man that's been keeping him alive, that loves him. And when Carl basically just drops the gun, like, go ahead and eat me. Like, I'd rather be a zombie than kill my own father. Keep in mind, this is a kid that had to kill his own mom.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically says, yeah, just go ahead and eat me. And that's when he realized Rick is actually still alive.
Mm-hmm. And that's when he broke down, because he was like, well, god damn it, I'm not as big and bad as I thought I was. Like, mm-hmm. I really can't do all these things that I thought I really could do.
Yeah, up until that point, it's real easy to talk that shit.
Yeah, it was that, we're not gonna take it. Mm-hmm. Like, he was like, fuck the police and fuck everybody else.
Yep, he was up there calling his dad by his first name, basically, but he realized that that shit was stupid. So he, Rick basically, tells Carl that he apologizes for him growing up like this and having to become a man at such a young age and, you know, not being able to protect him like a kid, you know?
Right.
But Carl, tells Rick, you don't need to apologize. We cool. Mm-hmm. Michonne, also, saw a walker that looked like herself.
Right.
And she was out by herself. And then that's when she killed those two things she was with and that herd of walkers she was traveling with. And
she was like, this is what I'm going to become if I stay out here by myself.
Right. And that's when she discovers Rick and Carl's location, knocks on the door. Rick looks through the peephole, smiles, says, it's for you. End of episode.
Right.
And that's Carl and Michonne have become fast friends.
Right. And I think, for me, it was neat how her detective skills, cause basically I think first she seen like a footprint, and then I think she found Carl's shoe, and then she found like pudding. Mm-hmm. Like she found all these things that kind of, you know, led her to them. Like little things, like I said, Carl had been fucking around. So all the shit he'd been doing, she found all this evidence.
Yeah, her tracking skills are off the hook. Now I think, matter of fact, let's go by episode just because it's easier. I think the way they have it broke up.
Okay.
So the next one is inmates. Beth and Daryl are hanging out. And yeah. Daryl is depressed as shit. He's lost his brother. The people he cared about in the attack, he doesn't know who survived.
Right.
So they're searching for the other survivors. They can't find anybody. Mm-mm. They find out that Luke, one of the children, got killed by walkers the next day. So, like, they're starting to just think the worst. And right. Lizzie is kind of acting, I mean, not Lizzie, Beth is acting a little bit aloof to it all. Like, right. Let's just go out and live and do stuff because I'm young and I haven't got a chance to live. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Daryl's like, are you fucking serious? Like, we lost everything, man. It's going to take, we're never going to build that back again.
Right.
Meanwhile, Lizzie and Mika have been traveling with Tyrese, who, we find out rescued Judith. So he's got all the little helpless white girls with him. He's just,
right. Just a black man with all the white kids.
Yeah. Magical Negro indeed. And you know, this baby is pretty horrible, to have, you know, because.
Right. During the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. It's a baby. It makes noise. How do you feed it? There's no breast milk around. It's
right.
Just, you know, you're just in trouble. So it looks like. They run up on a nest of baby rabbits that has been killed, and we don't know what happened to them, but they just show, like, Tyrese and them don't see it, but the camera pans over to a bunch of dead baby rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
So we know somebody killed it. Now, that goes back to the prison where there was like a mm-hmm. dead rat.
Right.
So we know that whatever is coming from the prison has now followed them out here and is killing these small animals, which is a pretty big sign of like serial killers and crazy people.
Right.
So we had suspected for a while that it was Lizzie feeding the zombies, killing the animal, little rats and shit.
Because the whole time they would try to talk to her, especially her sister, she was like, that person has a name. They're a person, like,
little stuff, yeah.
Right, her concept of what was going on was just not, was separated from reality.
When they kill zombies, she would be very upset by it. And mm-hmm. not on some, like, PTSD, but, like, mm-mm. why'd you kill that person?
Right.
So the, you know, the group has to cope with the baby crying. So the next day, they're out, and they hear some screams. So Tyrese leaves the baby with the children. saying, hey, y'all gotta fend for yourselves. And they talk about it. They pull out these little knives and they go back to back and they're just sitting there. Tyrese finds a dude and his son walking the train tracks, but he can't save him before the zombies get to him. And
right.
They both get killed in a very gruesome way. And Lizzie and, Mika are chilling in the woods with the baby, Judith, and they hear zombies coming. And Lizzie covers Judith's mouth to keep her from crying, but is also making her not be able to breathe.
Right. She about to suffocate the child to death.
Yeah. But Tyrese finds the children, and after killing all those, zombies, he runs back and the children have been rescued by Carol.
Right. Cause I think he hears them scream. So yeah. That draws his attention back.
Yeah. So Carol is back, guys. And we're like, man, this is awkward because Carol killed Karen and Karen was Tyrese's love of his life.
Right. And then it becomes, does she tell him? Does she not tell him? Like all that shit. And she didn't know how to respond because she didn't know if he knew.
Yeah.
So when she first was there, she just like, okay. And he was like so glad and so happy to see her. She was like, oh, thank God.
And the father of the boy, the father who's still like, he's dying. He's not dead yet. He tells him to follow the tracks to a safer place, which we're starting to add up is Terminus, which is the old name for, I think the city of Atlanta or something like that. So follow the tracks to a safe place, basically. So the five, find a sign that discovered that says, here's sanctuary and it says lead to Terminus. So then we cut over to Maggie, Sasha and Bob. Who find a prison bus that's crashed and Maggie is just, sure that Glenn's in there.
Right. Because
they realize it's full of zombies, but she has to know if Glenn's in there or not.
Right. Because last time she basically put him on the bus, turned around and ran, and then the bus had to leave.
Yeah. We don't know if Glenn's alive or dead at this point. So, they, you know, basically can't figure it out unless they let the zombies out the bus and kill them. So they arm themselves and her, Bob and Sasha kill all the walkers on the bus. And then she lets out a huge sob cry at the end of killing all the walkers because Glenn wasn't on the bus.
Right. She was like, if he's dead, I have to know.
And we had thought that Glenn might, that one of the walkers looked like Glenn from behind, but it wasn't him.
Right.
So, we find out Glenn never left the prison.
Mm-mm.
He got on the bus somehow. He got back off for a second. He's passed out. He wakes up, grabs riot armor and supplies in the prison, fights a horde of walkers at the courtyard. Like then he finds one of my favorite characters, Big Titty Tara,
mm-hmm.
The sister of Lily from last season.
I think she like locked herself in like this little fence.
Yeah, she's scared. And he gives her like a pep talk, like, get your ass out of here.
Yeah, but you're going to sit up here and starve to death and die anyway. Yeah,
we got
to
survive. And she's like feeling guilty because she brought all this down. But even though she didn't really understand that,
but he was doing
what
it.
The governor was really going to do.
Right.
So they distract the walkers with a Molotov cocktail made from Bob's liquor bottle. Thank goodness for that alcoholic.
Right.
And they escape the prison. Tara tells them about how Herschel and Lily died. And Glenn persuades her to help find Maggie. Like, hey, you can make up for all this shit. Help me find my wife. So they defeat another herd of walkers and Glenn passes the fuck out. And that's when the army truck pulls up. Tara yells at it and three people come out. It's Abraham, Eugene, and Rosita. And
yes.
And Abraham says, you got a damn mouth on you. You know what else? You know that? What else you got? And then that's when it ends.
Mm-hmm.
That just a great episode.
Excellent.
Action packed, introducing new characters.
Mm-hmm.
Love, Eugene's fucking, mullet.
The best shit ever.
And we have Rosita's, short shorts.
Oh yeah. And for those of you that read the comic books, when they first come out, it's the same, pose that they have on the first, episode, on the cover of the first comic that they were on, that same stance.
Yeah. So, you know, we appreciated, that they were so true to the comic in that scene, you know, just a very iconic moment, for those of us that follow the comic. The next episode was Claimed. Michelle and Carl go on a supply run while Rick, who isn't sure whether they should even stay in the house, rest because he's forced to because he's fucked up.
Right.
Michonne tries to cheer Carl up, and it doesn't really work. Mm-mm. He's kind of like a sourpuss right now.
He's obviously, like, I'm not here for none of the jokes right now.
Yeah, he's worried about his little sister, and he recognizes that predicament is pretty hairy. She said something like, I can make toddlers laugh. And he's like, when have you been around toddlers? Cause she was like, you know, if you basically, she played a game with him. Like, if you basically help me out, you can ask me a question.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept asking questions until he asked about basically her dead family. She reveals to him that, hey, I used to have a son.
Mm-hmm.
They scavenge a house. She tells him that her son's name was Andre Anthony. He was 3 years old, died shortly after the zombies came alive.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find that there's a dead family inside the house that they're scavenging.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they all killed themselves.
Yeah, I think Michonne finds it first, and she basically was like, nope, we are not dealing with this.
Yep. Glenn wakes up in Abraham's truck. Tara tells him that they passed the prison bus and everybody inside was dead. Glenn tries to leave so he can go search for Maggie. Glenn and Maggie just got on my nerves all season because
they was trying to find each other.
They didn't care about shit but finding each other, and I guess realistically that's how most people would be,
right?
But it was just so annoying because other people would have good ideas about how to find them, and they were just like so lucky. Stupid about their ideas. Like, I'm just gonna walk in a direction. It's like, no, that person probably, if y'all are thinking sharp, you're both gonna go to a place where safety is, and then y'all will find each other there.
Right. But they didn't care.
So he tries to leave, and he ends up fighting Abraham. Mm-hmm. And Abraham basically,
which is greatly choreographed.
Yeah. And Glenn only kind of quote unquote wins the fight because he won't give up. Like, Abraham stops him, but you know, Glenn's like, I don't give a fuck, man. You got to kill me.
Right.
You know, and Abraham basically tells him, look, this is my bigger mission. We want to get Eugene to Washington, D.C. We think Eugene is a scientist and he's figured this shit out. He knows what caused the apocalypse and he wants to meet with government officials there to save the world. Let's reverse this. And he wants Glenn and Tara to stay with them because they need more manpower. And right. He's seen Glenn handle himself in a fight. He's seen Tara handle herself in a fight. Tara and Rosita, you know, try to break up the fight between Abraham and Glenn. And that's when a whole lot of walkers come out of nowhere. And Eugene's dumbass, who can't fight, tries to kill him by himself.
Right,
and ends up fucking up the truck.
Right, he shoots about like me. It was like da 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 da, and he just shot everything.
Shot all the gas out of the truck.
I think he shot a hole in the tires. Like, yeah. He just shot everything.
Fuck the truck up.
Mm-hmm.
Just
it was dumb.
Never give a man with a mullet a gun.
Right.
They kill the walkers, but now the truck's so fucked up that they can't do anything because there's no fuel. You know. So they basically say, let's follow Glenn, because Glenn has now convinced Tara that, hey, you owe me. You promised me you helped me find Maggie.
Yep.
So what's she gonna do, right? So she follows, and then the other three go, fuck it, we'll follow y'all, at least to Terminus, and then we'll figure out what we're gonna do from there.
Right.
Rick wakes up to one of the scariest scenes in the fucking show.
Made my heart drop.
Like, this is a huge nightmare. You wake up from a nap and people are in the house.
Right.
And it sounds like a lot of men. And he manages to sneak past some of them, slide under the bed.
Yeah.
And pretend like, and just be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear the scavengers fight, and they get it like they
about who's gonna lay on the bed.
Yeah, and one of them is like, I claim this bed. Everything is, we claim shit first. We claim, and this comes into a big thing. The name of the episode is claimed. So this whole crew, that whole thing is, if you claim something first, you get it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the dudes claims the bed that Rick was laying on, without really searching under the bed or anything. Another dude comes in and he's like, nah, I want the bed. Keep in mind, Rick is very sick right now. He's very weak. He's laying under there just trying to wait for, you know, these people to like leave or drop their guard.
Right. And the whole time I was like, fuck, I hope Michonne and Carl don't come back.
So when he starts sleeping on the bed, one of the guys starts sleeping on the bed. Another guy comes in, fights the guy for the bed. Mm-hmm. They gets into a fight. They fall to the floor. The guy can see Rick under the bed. Mm-hmm. But he's also being put in a NYPD chokehold.
Oh, right.
At the same time. So he can't tell everybody else that, hey, someone's under the bed. And he ends up passing out before he can tell everyone. And the other guy gets into the bed and falls asleep. Mm-hmm. Just a scary, scary scene. Just so well done.
Right. That fear was real.
Yeah. Finally, Rick manages to sneak out of the house, but he sneaks through the bathroom and one of the fucking scavengers is in there taking a shit.
Right.
And there's no working toilets. I don't know why he's taking a shit, but he's in there taking a shit and Rick has to kill him.
Right. But he got to kill him without being noise, without making like a whole fucking lot of racket.
Right.
So they're like in this like 4x4 thing, wrestling and scuffling and just kind of rumbling at each other. And it's like, if they make too much noise, they're going to draw other people in there. So they rumbling and then he ends up, I think killing them.
Yeah. He kills a dude in the toilet and then he escapes out the window.
Right.
Go ahead, Karen.
But he left the door open.
Right. He ends up accidentally leaving the bathroom door open. Well, that the one he kills comes to life and attacks the other scavengers. Mm-hmm. And this happens while Rick is outside hiding in the bushes right around the front porch. And we see that one of the men is on the porch and we'll later find out who his name is and all this shit, but mm-hmm. he's on the porch and he's talking about, hey, we think a woman's here. When we get back, basically we're going to rape her. We're not talking about Michonne. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're talking about all the stuff they're about to do. And then that's when upstairs, the dude comes to life as a walker and kills one of the people upstairs. And then they all have to rush upstairs to like try to fight the walker.
Yeah.
And that's how Rick escapes. Right. And he barely like stops Michonne from rolling up there.
Right.
And him and Carl and Michonne escape.
Right. Because the ruckus draws him back in. And when it draws him back in, he basically runs off. And while he's running off, they're literally headed back. And he was like, nope, nope, nope. Everybody, let's go this way.
Yep. And they roll up on the train tracks and start walking towards the sign that says, those who arrive survive Terminus. Mm-hmm. Next episode was Steel. Now this was a lot of people's least favorite episode of second half of season four. It's the one where Beth is tired of clamping in the woods and decides, I'm a little girl. Mm-hmm. I want to stay in nice places and I want to relax and I'm dying anyway. I want to drink.
I enjoyed it.
You know, I get it. I'm just telling what people said. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it too. We've already said we've enjoyed all the episodes. No need to get defensive.
No, I'm not.
So he was, Beth is like, I'm a kid. Right. I want to do kid shit. And Daryl's like, bitch, we lost everything. Right. What are you fucking excited about?
Yes, it was like, I don't care about what's happening in the world. This is a chance, even though the world is ending, this is a chance for me to do the shit that I was never allowed to do.
Yeah, she don't want to die without a bunch of firsts. Now this episode was a little creepy to me because there was this weird like chemistry between her and Daryl where I was just hoping one of her first wasn't to get fucked.
Right.
Cause that seems like a brother sister relationship more than anything. Mm-hmm. And she was so out of control and like rambunctious and like, let's live it up that for some point in time, I was like, hope she isn't like, I also haven't had sex, Daryl. So what's up?
Right.
So, she wants to get her first drink of alcohol and she walks off alone and almost gets fucking killed. Mm-hmm. Daryl makes sure he joins her.
He follows her. After
telling her she can leave.
Right.
He joins her anyway, and makes sure she doesn't get attacked by walkers. They find a golf course and they go to the country club inside of it and explore it. And I enjoyed the inside of country club. I wish they would have like maybe a webisode or something to show what happened in there.
Right, because that was a story all on its own. And it looked like the people on the outside came inside and like just tore that place to pieces.
Yeah, it looked like there was like some classism going on. Right. And they killed some of those people before they turned to walkers. Like they hung some of those people and shit. Like something happened where I don't know if the 1% got fucked up or what, but they found some walkers inside, kill them. Then Beth finds some peach schnapps, but she can't find a clean glass. Daryl gets so pissed with her that he smashes the bottle because he's so tired of her attitude of acting like this shit isn't happening almost.
Right.
And he takes it to a house with the steel and some moonshine.
Right.
And I don't know, like it felt like they were trying to say maybe it was his house or a place he knew about, but he was kind of saying like, I grew up in a place like this, so I can recognize this shit.
Yes, that, and it was hilarious though, cause he was like, if you're gonna take your first drink, it ain't gonna be this bullshit.
Yeah, he was like, peach schnapps is some girl bullshit. Let's go drink you some moonshine, like people that really wanna get fucked up. They drink moonshine and share personal information about each other. Daryl talks about his background, getting beat and never having nothing, and how his father was abusive and, you know, and how he's always been a follower and never been a leader. And Daryl loses his temper after Beth questions him and presumes that he had been in jail.
Right.
He starts yelling and he decides like, hey, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to go outside. I'm going to teach you how to shoot a crossbow on this walker. And Beth is so upset that she can't like do it. And she ends up killing the walker with her knife instead because Daryl basically took pleasure in tormenting the walker. Mm-hmm. And then he breaks down and starts crying. And it feels like he's been wanting to have a cry the whole time.
Right.
And he couldn't do it because he's Mr. Tough Guy. And he's got this little girl around him. Like, what is he supposed to do? You know? So he ends up crying, and then Beth kind of holds him. Mm-hmm. And I think in a cathartic moment, they burn the house down, which is supposed to be like, you know, it was like almost like they could have stayed there and been safe for a while, but they like burn the house down because it reminds Daryl of his childhood and who he used to be. And she kind of gives him a speech about, hey, you can be somebody new now. You don't need to be a follower. Like you've proven that you're a leader. You've proven you're not a bad person. It is now like he's now free of that. And then that's kind of the end of the episode. All this stuff has some interesting crossovers. Like someone in another episode with Carol and Tyrese, I think they see the fire, smoke from the fire in their episode.
Right. And some of those zombies that were leaving that were heading towards them because of that fire.
Right. So like there's a bunch of little small crossovers that,
which lets you know they're in the close vicinity of each other.
Yeah. It shows you that as separate as these stories are, they're all tied together and they're all so close to just finding each other. Mm-hmm. Alone is the next episode. Bob, this starts with probably the best introduction as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
Of the second half of the series. It's Bob's time alone on the road. Mm-hmm. All is one big flashback with him being drunk and him losing everything, staying in a cave and just a ton of like how he survived by himself. And it gives you a lot of insight on the character without taking a lot of screen time because you basically find out like Bob has been at the bottom. So he, that's why his attitude is so much more like appreciative. Now he's an alcoholic. Obviously that's a problem, but
he was like, I'm not alone.
Yeah. He's so much more like his approach to things like, let's stick together. It'll work out. This is better than being alone. And now we know why. So Maggie, Bob and Sasha come across a map to Terminus. Maggie thinks Glenn will go looking for her there, but Sasha is against going there because she don't want to face the possibility that Tyrese might be dead. And she thinks, and Bob figures this out right away. Like, you're scared we're going to get to Terminus. Tyrese is never going to show up and you're going to have to admit that he's dead. So you don't want to go there.
Right.
So Maggie says, you know, while y'all niggas is arguing,
I got shit to do.
I'm leaving and going to Terminus by myself. And Bob basically sides with the white woman and tells Sasha, we need to follow her and go there together.
Because like, what are we going to do? Just hang up in this building forever? Like, that's impossible. Because she was like, I think they ended up finding a building. And she was like, we could stay here to be safe. And he was like, not really.
Right. And it's funny, too, because Bob and Sasha, were, like, he stuck with her. I mean, one, Sasha is fine, you know. And, you know, I'd stick with her over Maggie any day. But it was a little bit of like people, I remember on Twitter, people were mad because it's like choosing the white woman's side. It's like, well, Maggie actually has a good plan.
Right.
Go to Terminus. And Sasha's plan is illogical because she just wants to avoid as long as possible finding out if Tyrese is dead or not.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so they basically find like an abandoned building. Sasha says, I'm giving up living in here. Bob kisses her. And I was like, woo, go ahead, Bob. I don't blame you. Get up in there while you can. He tries to change her mind, and it doesn't work. She's like, I don't give a fuck if you kiss me or not, if you really want to be with me. Love should have brought your ass home.
Right.
You had to earn me. And he said, I'm going to go with the white woman then. Like many brothers in the past. So,
it's safer.
He got drafted by the Spurs, and then he got a white woman. So she settles into the abandoned building, and Sasha stumbles upon Maggie and accidentally awakens a large group of walkers because they were, Maggie apparently was laying outside surrounded by dead walkers trying to get some rest.
And mask herself so she can rest.
Yeah. But Maggie, when Sasha stumbles upon Maggie, they basically make a lot of noise. And a whole big ass group of walkers starts coming up there and trying to kill him. Mm-hmm. Maggie and Sasha have to fight off the walkers by themselves.
Which was a great fight. Cause I think Maggie ended up picking up a stop sign and some shit and was fucking them up.
She was fucking them things up with that stop sign. It was dope. Maggie tells Sasha she was waiting for Sasha and Bob because she realized she can't make the trip to Terminus alone.
Mm-mm.
And she needs them because she tried to do it by herself, ended up getting surrounded by zombies, having to play dead, and, you know, realize, hey, we gotta go.
Gotta do this as a group.
Yeah, we gotta do this as a group. And but now I think they weren't sure where Bob was or something like that.
Right, because he went to go back to go look for her because he was like, we can't leave her out there by herself.
Yeah. Daryl and Beth, and keep in mind, Bob's been around by him, alone by himself before. It's nothing for him. Like, he didn't want to do it, but he can.
Right.
So he's like, I'm going to head to Terminus with other people because that seems to be the thing and y'all motherfuckers tripping. Daryl and Beth have, of course, become close after their last, thing. So they go and find a mortuary and see that it has a bunch of supplies and stuff in there. And if they want to live there, they can.
Oh, I have a question.
Yes.
At the beginning of one of these episodes, didn't it start with him and her in the car? Or did we already pass that episode?
Him and her in a car.
Right.
Who's him and her?
Daryl and Beth. Didn't it start with an episode where they were hit in a car? And
I don't think we've gotten there yet.
Okay.
Or
we ain't gotten
if
that
we
far.
Have, I don't remember, but I know that was a scene in one of the episodes. But I don't know if it was this one, honestly. They go to the mortuary and they find like there's food and there's drink and there's supplies and all that, but there's also walkers dressed up in funeral makeup, which is weird. Beth plays some music, which I'm like, bitch, stop making all that noise.
Singing and shit.
Yeah, she got the dumbest fucking musical gift in the zombie apocalypse because it just brings zombies. I was like, I'm gonna get on this piano. No, bitch. Want me to play some guitar? No, I don't. I want you to be quiet. The funeral home eventually gets invaded by walkers. Now, here's something that, and maybe they'll cover it next season, or maybe I'm just tripping, but what did you think about this home? Because I felt like it was what they call a honeypot.
What's a honeypot?
Where it's too good to be true, and maybe it was a setup, like it's a trap where they know people will be in there, and then they let walkers in to kill them, because at one point, like a fucked up dog comes to the door and Daryl opens the door, but it's just a one-eyed dog and it runs off. And then later he opens the door and it's the fucking horde of zombies busting the house. And I wondered if it was a trap. Like,
I think
somebody set this place up. It's too good to be true. People come in there. They want to stay. Then they unleash these zombies upon them. And maybe that's what they get the zombies out somehow. And then they dress the dead corpses up in funeral clothes. I don't know. It just felt weird.
From what I've heard, they said that they didn't actually, it was an episode that they didn't actually air. That actually went into the funeral home. It was like a dude that actually owned the funeral home, and he actually lived there. And you know, when the zombies would like die, that's what he would do. He actually do their makeup and all that stuff, and then he eventually ended up dying.
Oh, okay.
But I do think that the person that, and I think that dog was familiar with the person that lived there, like that
okay.
owner, and he ran because he's like, you're not the person that's normally here.
Oh.
But I do think that somebody realized that they were in that home and did send those walkers. I do not think it was like the actual owner.
Yeah, it didn't seem like a coincidence. Right.
I don't think it was the owner, but I do think that somebody was like, hey, somebody's in there, or they might have been living in that home themselves. And realized that somebody had entered the home and was like, I got to get y'all out of there. And going back before, I think that this may have started. I don't know if this started this episode or the episode before, because by this time, the incident in the car had already happened. But I wanted to talk about that.
Go ahead.
About how I think it started off one of the episodes. How
well, it wasn't this one, but no, maybe the one before.
Right. Because by the time you get to this point, they were already past that point. I think it was, they did a wonderful job of showing the intensity of the herds, because like they were running, it was like, oh shit, where do we go? They basically hid in a trunk and was just there, and all you heard was the rumbling and the growling.
Yeah, the walkers are like a force of nature,
right?
You know, it's like if a hurricane or a tornado just came through town, and yeah, you just had to hold out because there's no way you could kill them all. Especially in these huge herds.
Right. And I think it even started fucking raining, and you could just hear them on the outside and they were just rumbling. And I think they end up having to tie it down with like a rope or some shit. And I was like, if they get found out, they're fucking dead.
Yeah. That scene was good.
And it was very intense.
Extremely. So the zombies come into the mortuary, the house or whatever. And basically, Beth and Daryl get split up.
Right, because he was like, run.
Yeah, and so Daryl tells her to run and covers her retreat. Daryl, like, somehow barely escapes, man. Like, he was trapped in the basement. Right. Like, zombies, like, left and right. I don't know how he got out of there.
That was one of the best scenes ever.
Yeah.
Because he basically was caught in a corner with like six, and I think like a table was separating them.
Yeah, it was like an operating / morgue table where I think it had wheels on the bottom and a little hole on the bottom, but zombies were trying to crawl over the top of it, and he crawled under the bottom of it and got around a corner and knocked some of them out coming up the steps and like just barely made it out of there.
He went around that whole 4x4 room and like took them all out. It was just incredible to watch and very intense, because I was like, oh, he might not make it.
So Daryl runs out, finds Beth's bag laying on the ground, and a car is just screeching off in the background in the dark, and you could just see the lights like leave. And
it was Daryl runs out,
huh?
It was one of them old school cars for funeral.
It was a hearse, so maybe it was stolen from this funeral home,
right?
Whatever happened, he sees the car leaving, and he pursues the car on foot until he's exhausted, and then he sits down in the middle of the road until he's surrounded and confronted by the same men from episode claimed. And it's the group that Rick had encountered. There's a tense standoff where they're deciding if they're gonna kill him and take all his shit. And eventually the group's leader comes up. Everybody lowers their, because like Daryl's looking like, I'm just ready to die anyway. So why don't y'all kill me? But I'm gonna take one of y'all with me and fuck it.
Right.
And they all lower their weapons when the leader comes up, basically like, hey, we might could use a dude like you. And Maggie and Sasha catch up to Bob, and they go to Terminus together. And then Glenn discovers signs going to Terminus, and that's how that one is.
Right.
Didn't he
also see something that she, because she, when Maggie was moving, she was actually writing signs with the zombie's blood.
Yeah, like Glenn this way or something
right,
like that.
Right, and he ended up finding one of her signs.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. The Grove. Tyrese, Carol, Lizzie, Mika, and Judith. This is probably my favorite episode of the second season. Of the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. It was this so good. So fucking good. I have wanted these little girls to die for so long.
Right.
Now, I know that's not nice to say, but it's zombie apocalypse. And fuck Lizzie. She's crazy.
Out of her
it's
mind.
A liability. So the white girls and Tyrese were on the railroad tracks on their way to Terminus. Carol tells Tyrese and Lizzie about Lizzie and how she feels about the walkers and how Mika's not tough. And, you know, Carol's whole thing has been about survival. And she lost her own daughter because her Sophia wasn't tough.
Right.
And she's looking at these girls. She's taken on a mission her entire arc this season to toughen up and to teach the young people survival skills for this new world. Remember, she used to pull out the knives and give them knife training in secret when the parents went around. Her whole thing was, I'm going to teach you guys how to survive. I had to turn myself into a survivor. I went from a victim
right.
to a survivor, and I'm not going to give up, okay? So she was like, you know, I can't even teach these little girls because they're just not tough enough. So Carol and Mika go get supplies. Tyrese and Lizzie encounter a walker who gets trapped on the tracks. Lizzie begs Tyrese not to kill it because it's stuck on the track and it can't kill him. So Tyrese listens to her and doesn't do it. But that just tells you like she's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and part of you's like, well, maybe it's being cruel, so that's why she don't want him to do it. But you know, I think later we find out that she tried to feed that walker and some shit anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So Carol tells Mika that, you know, you can't be a bitch out here. You're gonna have to learn to fight instead of running all the time. And Mika's like, I can't, you look, I gotta run.
Yep.
You know,
that's what I do. I run.
So Mika tells Carol, like, hey, I can kill walkers, but only the ones I think are threats. But my sister won't kill them at all.
Right. Be like, I'm tough. But I mean, I might be soft, but I ain't that soft.
So they find a house in a grove and it's perfect.
It's beautiful.
There's no zombies around. There's a little bit of fences, but not enough to protect like a herd. But, mm-mm. You know, a zombie or two's not getting past the fence.
Right, go get caught in the fence.
So they decide, hey, maybe we could take shelter for here for a while. Maybe there's even a set, like a feeling of maybe we could live here forever. Like, mm-hmm. Just us, the girls, we'll be safe. You know, even though I did kill Karen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, they look outside. And this is how the episode starts, by the way, with a flash forward of a little girl running around a zombie as tea is brewing on the stove.
Right.
Well, that scene happens, and it's, of course, Lizzie playing tag with a walker.
Right.
Carol sees it, she's very upset, goes outside, kills the walker, and now Lizzie flips out on Carol, who's upset with her, like, basically, why'd you kill my friend?
And she snaps. She was like, why'd you kill him? Why'd you kill him? I was like, oh, yeah, she's not right.
By the way, let me just say, the girls in this episode, great, great acting.
Yes, very good acting.
They've always kind of set out to me, and I think child actors can be very hard and very difficult to write, and mm-hmm. especially something as sad and cynical as this show, but they did such a great job.
Yes, they did.
Just really standing ovation. So Carol and Mika go hunt for animals after witnessing a forest fire in the distance, which is probably that house that got burned down
mm-hmm.
by Daryl and Beth. But Mika can't kill his deer, so basically they don't get to eat deer that night.
Right.
Mika later finds Lizzie feeding the walker on the railroad tracks that she didn't let Tyrese kill. Mm-hmm. And then she tells Mika, I might let it bite me so I can just join them. And then you guys will be able to understand that when you become a zombie, you're still alive and y'all care about me. So y'all won't kill me. And you can see that it's different.
Mm-hmm.
But later they free because a herd of charred walkers escaped from the woods, which probably from that house fire.
Right, they got set on fire walking through it, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, they basically kept walking.
So they're on fire, and by the way, some of the best special effects and graphics in the series.
Right.
Charred walkers' makeup was awesome.
Flawless, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. They woke up like that. So They walk up into they follow them to, oh no, they walk, they scare the girls off basically. And the girls run back to, the Grove. Carol starts thinking about maybe we should stay at the Grove. Tyrese starts telling her like, yo, I have nightmares about Karen still, and I'm not ready to be around a lot of people again. So maybe we can stay here. Mm-hmm. It'll just be us.
Right. And while they was having this conversation, she almost told him, but I think that's when they heard the girl scream.
And they ran outside and Lizzie had stabbed Mika to death. And Judith is laying there in the baby seat by herself, vulnerable.
Right. And she was literally getting ready to kill her too.
And she has a knife. Lizzie has a knife. And she's explaining to them why, it's okay. Like, she's like, it's okay. It's okay. She's going to come back. Like, I stabbed Mika to death, but don't worry. She'll come back as a zombie. And then you guys will understand finally that I'm right. You know, she wants her sister to return as a walker. Mm-hmm. And basically, they managed to get Judith away from her. And you know,
Carol finally gets the knife out of her hand.
Yeah, Carol gets the knife. And they, you know, kind of convince, cause she's still a kid. They kind of convince her like, oh, we believe you. Just give us a knife. We'll work this out. It's okay. Tyrese, Lizzie, and Judith enter the house, and then Carol, basically stabs Mika in the head to keep her from coming back to life.
Right.
And Tyrese and Carol debate what should be done with Lizzie in the house, and it's a really sad scene because it kind of reminds me of the episode where they all had to sit around with Dale and figure out if they were going to kill that dude in the barn. And it's another one of those, like, we're debating life and death because there's no rules anymore.
Right.
And we're talking about killing a little kid, but she's a liability and she just killed another little kid.
Right.
And if we would have took care of her ass before, the other kid would be alive.
Not only that, we're liable to wake up in the middle of the night. She'd be fucking over stabbing us.
Yeah. And Lizzie did tell Carol that, hey, Mika did tell Carol, hey, Lizzie used to be on medication.
Right.
She can't have her medication anymore since obviously where are we going to get it from? So, you know.
Yeah. And they would have her account and yeah.
Yeah. Tyrese and Carol debate about it, and Tyrese tells Carol that Lizzie admitted that she had been feeding the walkers in prison, leading him to believe that she killed Karen. But he realizes Lizzie wouldn't have the strength to move the bodies because whoever killed Karen also drug her body outside and burned it to death.
Yes.
So Carol points out that Lizzie would have let Karen reanimate. So they know, hey, that's not who killed Karen. Still, they conclude that Lizzie can't be around other people. And the next day, Carol kills Lizzie, telling her to look at the flowers. Just heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching scene. Excellent acting by the actress who plays Carol. Really put you in the moment.
Right, because that's what your sister would tell her. Look at the flowers, and they would count.
Yeah, and so she tells her to look at the flowers, and you have to remember also, she's acting like a little kid again. And Carol's daughter was about the same age when she got killed by the zombie. So she's having to do all this and it's extremely tough. So she kills Lizzie and then she comes in and tells Tyrese that, hey, I killed Karen and David. And this scene is intense because the gun is on the table.
Right. She was like, they turned and I had to kill them.
Now, well, no, she didn't say they turned.
Oh.
She said they were sick and she did it because she thought that it would stop the illness from spreading to the prison. And it didn't, remember?
Okay.
She killed them before they turned to zombies or even died.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing about this. I feel like she told Tyrese this because partially she wanted to die because of how sad she felt about killing this little girl that was basically the same age as her daughter when her daughter was killed by zombies. And just how fucked up that made her inside. So she was like, I'm going to do suicide by Tyrese, basically. I understand if you want to kill me. And he basically is like, I'll forgive you, but I'm never going to forget it. And he doesn't kill her with the gun. They bury the girls. And then it's Tyrese, Carol, and Judith. And they go to Terminus on the railroad tracks. gonna be interesting to see what and when they tell everybody about that.
Right. And it's gonna be interesting to see when they show up, because they might show, I think that they're gonna show up while Rick and them are in that thing. I think they're going to be one of the reasons why Rick and them get out. This is just my guess. Mm. And also, I think they're going to stumble across Rick's gun. Because remember, he buried it.
Yeah, he buried his gun outside the fence.
Right. I think something's going to happen where they're going to run across it or something. And they're going to be like, oh, shit, that's Rick's gun. Oh, shit, we think he's in there. You know, and I think that they're not going to, especially with that baby, they're not going to just walk into the front doors.
Next episode is Us. Glenn, Tara, Abraham, Eugene, and Rosita are on the tracks when Glenn spots one of Maggie's signs, mm-hmm. and begins to pursue Max. So, yeah, he hadn't seen, I guess, Maggie's sign
yet.
But he saw it, and then he loses his fucking mind, starts running a 4440 to get to the fucking, like, this tunnel. And it's like, nigga, running a little bit faster ain't gonna help, but I guess he's so in love, he's just stupid, right. Ready to die of heat exhaustion.
Right, and they like, that tunnel's dark. That tunnel's long, and we don't know what the fuck is in that tunnel. And you can hear shit growling. No. Yeah, they was like, we're going around.
Well, this is before they get to the tunnel, but he just runs off. So Rick, Carl, and Michonne are way ahead of them, and Carl and Michonne are contemplating on who can walk on the rails longest. They're playing a little game, and it's fun. I think they have a candy bar. They leave a wrapper there on the ground. Or something like that. Like they split a candy bar or something like that.
Right, and they drop it when they finish.
Yeah, meanwhile, Daryl and Lynn, who one of the marauders, are hunting, and they both shoot a rabbit. Lynn claims the rabbit first, but argues with Daryl because Daryl actually shot the rabbit first, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this rule. They explained the rule of claim, which is, hey, if I claim the fucking thing first, I get it. That's the way we're running it. And I get the whole rabbit and blah, blah, blah. And Joe comes up. He's the leader. And Joe's like, hey, Daryl doesn't know the rules, but here's our one rule. Now, since you don't know the rule, I'm going to cut the rabbit in half and you get half and the other dude gets half. But if you want something, you basically got to claim it. You know, but that's kind of like, you know, an intense scene because it looks like Daryl's gonna kill that dude for a second.
Right. He was like, I will fuck you. I don't give a goddamn about y'all rules. Mm-hmm. Right. And then he was trying to say, he was basically talking about Beth. He was like, now he's for a fine piece of ass and all this shit. And it made him angry. He was like, mm-hmm. I will fuck you up talking about her.
Right. Like that dude, Lynn, just was a line pusher. And it sounds like Lynn was the dude who stole the bed and choked that dude out too.
I think he was.
Mm-hmm. So, then on the tracks, Joe encourages Daryl to stay with them. Basically says, like, hey, you one of us. You're a guy like us. We're here. We only get the run rule. But if you lie or you steal or you cheat from the group, then you get a severe beating or worse. So, you know, we enforce the rules here. Just stick with us because you will fit in. They stay the night at a railroad platform. Daryl awakens to Lynn, accusing him of stealing half his rabbit. Daryl's bag contains the other half. While Daryl basically says, I was set up. Joe then basically reveals, hey, I actually saw Lynn put the rabbit in Daryl's bag, and they fucked Lynn up.
Mm-hmm.
Then after they leave the camp, Daryl, like, this is a hard group of men, like, I think they even had the camp set up so, like, they had, like, wires and stuff with noise-making stuff. So if a zombie came, it would wake them up. Like, these dudes did know how to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they were really good about, like, we're going to just make sure we don't get killed by any fucking zombies.
Right.
So after they fuck up Lynn and they go to leave, Daryl sees Lynn's body laying there with an arrow through his head.
They fucked him up.
They killed Lynn for that lie.
Yeah, they was like, you lied. Nope.
And then Joe informs Daryl that they're actually tracking a man who killed one of their own and maybe headed to Terminus. Now, turns out we, the audience, know that man is Rick.
Right.
So they figured out that Rick killed that dude in the toilet and turned him. And then they're basically like, we want revenge. When Glenn's, so we cut back to Glenn is at the tunnel and There's a sign with Maggie to proceed. But Abraham decides it's too big a risk because it's dark in there. There's no lights.
Right.
Who knows what the fuck is going on? And honestly, man, it looked to me like they could just walk up the hill and just keep following the path of the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out on the other side anyway. Why not just do that? That's smart.
That's what they was trying to tell him. It'd take longer, but shit, you out in the open and it's safer.
But Glenn at this point is just so fucking stupid. And Tara decides to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, like I said, Glenn and Maggie became my least favorite characters after Lizzie because they were putting everyone at risk for their own personal love. And it just was such a selfish and stupid thing to do.
Right.
So Abraham decides too big a risk to Dr. Eugene. And leaves Glenn and Tara with supplies and says, y'all can proceed. Tells Glenn and Tara to return to the last road. They pass if they have trouble getting through. And I want to say he made a deal that they would like follow him up to the tunnel or something for Glenn's, body armor. And he gave the body armor to Eugene. Cause I think Abraham's whole mission is like, I'm gonna protect Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to give Eugene the body armor cause he's the most important person. We don't want him to get bit.
Right.
So basically, Glenn's going in there, no body armor, very few weapons and gonna go and fucking go inside this tunnel.
Not knowing what's in there.
Yeah. They go into the tunnel. There's been a collapse inside the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Walkers are everywhere. It's dark. One false step, you can get bitten.
Zombies are like made in the walls.
Yeah. He asked Tara, hey, you want to turn around? Tara says, nope, I'm going to go. You know, I'm with you. They get in there and they get stuck and overwhelmed by the walkers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about to get killed. And Tara's like, just leave me behind. It's my fault anyway. Cause she's stuck. And Glenn goes back to save her anyway.
Right. Did she fuck her leg up or something?
Yeah. I think she hurt her leg or it got stuck or something. And you know, typical Glenn shit. Like he's the kind of person that he always goes back to help people.
Right.
So it was a moment where I thought maybe he would leave her, but he went back and you're like, well, now y'all are doomed.
Like y'all both getting ready to die.
And they turn out that they get rescued from the walkers at the last minute by Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
And Sasha and Bob are with her. Abraham's group is there. And they find out that, hey, we all got up together because we took the truck in the long way around.
Yeah, we figured out this is where you would come out. Because I think they had rolled over there. And they was like, Eugene was like, this is where they're going to come out. And they was like, why are you here? Like, because his thing was like, he really didn't care, but he actually cared about them. He was like, yeah. You know, he was looking at his watch like, damn it, they should be out by now. You know, this is the longer route. Like, he began to be worried about them.
So Eugene convinces Abraham to go to Terminus with the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be like a new home base for them before continuing to Washington, D.C. And the group now merges and enters Terminus, with ease. And a woman's like grilling out, you know, and chilling and offers them something to eat. So it's one of those like, oh, kind of a happy ending, but what's on the grill?
Right.
You know, I didn't see no cows on the way in. See no pigs, but they was grilling something. Something smelled good. I think it was even Bob that noticed that.
Y'all got all this damn meat.
Mm-hmm. Bob was like, barbecue. My weakness. Who cares what it is? Picked up a big old rib. So A is the last episode, and a lot of shit happens.
A whole lot of shit happens.
This might be the best episode of the second half. If it wasn't for the Grove, like this is 1 and 1A for me.
Yeah.
There's a flashback that shows Rick and Herschel at the beginning and they're chilling at the prison and everybody looks kind of happy and Rick returns from a bloody run. There's kind of this, you know, juxtaposition of Rick, you know, showing up to the prison and everything seems to be kind of orderly. And then they show Rick in real time sitting in a car, sitting by outside of a car, covered in blood, just
And
it looked like he took a shower in blood.
And I was sitting there going, I don't know what the fuck happened. It was bad. And then I began to say, where's Michonne? Where's Carl? Like, cause that was the clip that they kept editing when they was promoting the episode. I was like, oh fuck, what happened?
And a day before Rick, Carl, and Michonne were going to Terminus, and in the forest, there's a man that gets attacked by a swarm of walkers. And then the walkers then follow the trio of, you know, Rick, Michonne, and Carl. Rick, Michonne, and Carl.
Right, cause Carl was trying to save him. I was like, yeah. No, you can't save him. Then him making that noise caused them to look their way.
So they escape the walkers, come up on an abandoned car. They stay there for the night. All of a sudden they wake up and Joe and his crew of dudes surround the car. Mm-hmm. And they ambush Rick and Michonne. Carl gets in the car. He's attacked by a dude named Dan who claims Carl.
What
does that mean in the zombie apocalypse? A little boy gets claimed. Chris Hansen came out zombie and said, have a seat over there, brains. Daryl walks up, oblivious to the fact that Joe wants to kill Rick.
Right. And not realizing that Rick was who they were looking for.
Right. So once Daryl basically voices his disagreement and says this is a good dude, the other claimers beat Daryl up.
Yeah.
So now he, you know, the one dude that they thought might could help him, they're fucked, you know? So Rick, then takes the only chance he has, cause they're basically talking about they're gonna rape Michonne.
Right.
They're talking about they're gonna rape his son.
Right.
And he's trying to rape his son actively, like trying to pull his clothes off and shit.
Right.
And Rick just has the most fatherhood moment of all time.
Right. He actually hits him. Causes him to shoot the gun right near his ears because he's basically distracted.
Yeah. And then he proceeds to bite his throat out.
Right.
And you know what it reminded me of? A walker.
Right. That's right. Because his hands was tied. That's right.
He didn't have a chance to like fight on the fair one. He bit his throat out savagely like a walker would eat human flesh because it was the only thing that he had. And he kills him. By eating his neck. Michonne gets the upper hand of Tony, shoots him. Daryl kills the two others, and then Rick goes and finds a dude that was going to rape his son. The dude starts begging. Rick stabs him to death while Michonne holds Carl close because Carl kind of reverts back to being a little boy.
And when I tell you, he stabbed that nigga off the screen and continued to stab him.
He cut him up
for the next 3 minutes. I think he stabbed him all the way through goddamn commercial break. I was like, woo!
And that's when we come back to Rick covered in blood on the side of the car. Cause Rick has basically blanked out.
Right. He was like,
his son had to see that. He talks to Daryl about what has happened before then and how they all broke up, got split up and stuff.
Right.
They decide to head to Terminus.
And also, I think for Carl, it also confirmed that his daddy loves him.
Well, not just that, but in a way, it shows like what it takes to survive.
Right.
It shows Carl's still a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
His dad protected him. His father has changed. Like, his father's not, this isn't the guy, like the flashback at the beginning of the show kind of show, like, here's a guy that just wanted peace.
Right. That's all he wanted.
But it's not possible.
Mm-mm.
So this is who that guy really is when he needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that fucked with Carl because it's like, sometimes you gotta kill people. You know, it's like, who's the real savages here? The zombies or the people?
Right.
And that means even the people who are quote unquote good, our protagonists, in order to survive, they have to do some fucked up shit.
Yes, sir.
Because the other people would do fucked up shit to them. So they go, before they go to Terminus, that's what you said, Rick hides his bag, including his gun,
mm-hmm.
and their supplies. Carl talks to Michonne about the thoughts about murdering people, and Michonne tells her about how her son died, and they hug. So Michonne's kind of becoming Carl's de facto mom slash friend,
mm-hmm.
which I like, you know?
I do too.
And I
love their relationship.
And Michonne tells Carl that she'll keep him safe, and so will Rick. And I really wish in a way that they would kind of like do something with Michonne and Rick as a relationship. Like, I think that would be cool. Like, cause she's already like his son's kind of protector and best friend. She don't got a man. He ain't got a woman. It ain't like the comics anyway. Andrea's dead.
Right. Or Rick or Daryl. Rick and Daryl
and Michonne?
Yes.
I guess. I don't know. I like Rick and Michonne together as like a family unit. I don't know why. Too. Plus, you know, a lot of times black women don't end up with the main lead as a love interest.
That's true too.
There always gotta be some weird side character.
Yeah.
Like Morgan or, Tyrese or something. I'm not saying it won't happen and that would be bad, but cause in the comics she does get with Morgan and she does get with Tyrese, but it would be dope if she got with Rick, like as a main character, mm-hmm. you know? So they, go to Terranus, they meet Gareth and Alex, and there's a very tense scene where it's like they want them to give up their guns and they want to.
Yeah, cause they snuck in the back way.
Yeah, cause they wanted to basically check them out.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really see anything suspicious necessarily, but they sneak around anyway. They get kind of, you know, caught or whatever. Alex shows them around. And Rick looks and sees Glenn and Maggie's gear.
Right.
Yeah. Like, he's seeing, like, the poncho that one of them had. Mm-hmm. And
all their outfits. And what was the most ironic stuff, and I didn't pay this attention until I went back and watched it, when, no, remember, he had Herschel's watch. That's what caught his eye.
Yeah. Well, no, this is, I'm saying, first he saw that gear already.
Oh.
He, like, you can see the poncho he had and something else.
Right. And they looked just like the crew.
Mm-hmm.
They was dressing the outfits.
Yeah, they were dressing the clothes.
Right.
And then he saw Glenn's watch was on Alex's arm. Well, Herschel's watch. Mm-hmm. He takes it off of Alex and puts a gun to his head. Everybody pulls out their gun. Gareth distracts Rick while Mary is getting ready to shoot Rick. Rick spins around and Mary shoots Alex in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody runs in a firefight, and there people are on the roof, like people coming out of the woodwork.
Right. And,
you know, coming at them.
And remember, he also, at the beginning of this episode, he also told them about the trapping.
Mm-hmm.
And that came into play how, you know, you lay out a trap and you cause, you know,
the prey,
right, to run and go into certain directions, and the same thing end up happening to them.
Right. It turns out this firefight is actually forcing them towards a dead end where they're all surrounded. There's snipers on the roof and shit. And they basically say, we're going to start shooting y'all until you give up and drop your weapons. Everybody drops their weapons. Gareth basically says, get into this boxcar. We're going to kill your son, Carl. They go into the boxcar, they get locked in, and there they find out Glenn, Maggie, Sasha, Bob, Tara, Abraham, Eugene, and Rosita all in there.
Mm-hmm.
Still don't know where Tyrese and Judith and Carol are.
Right.
Now, they could have gotten there before these people, they could be on their way still.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know.
Right.
And the group looks like, fuck, we're trapped, we're prisoners, what are they going to do to us? And Rick turns to them like, nah, we're not trapped in here with them. They're trapped in here with us.
Right, because they didn't see Rick fuck that whole group up before.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, yeah, they don't know who they're messing with. And I know, and it's weird, though, I love the line, but so many people were so angry he didn't say fucking who.
Yeah, he said they're messing with the wrong people for the ending line.
Right, I loved it. I thought it was a great way to end it. And it's like, well, goddamn, what are you going to do next?
Yeah. I mean, so I guess what are we going to do next is a good question. What do you think happens when we come back? Cause we're kind of in some uncharted territory. I don't think, necessarily we've been here before in the comic books.
Right. Cause this place is not actually on the comic book. Like, this is like a whole completely different area. I think that they're going to come up with some type of a plan,
mm-hmm.
to get out. I think that Tyrese and Carol are going to play a role in them getting out. I think that they're either going to, one of the groups are going to prevail, or either they just might combine as a group, mm-hmm. and just become one larger group.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are just some of my predictions. I don't know what, but even if they become a larger group, they're not going to trust each other.
Yeah, I think I feel like we're going to find out those people have been eating people.
Yeah, they have. There was evidence of it.
Yeah. Like, it just seems kind of suspect. Like, there was people, they were grilling out. We know they take people hostages. Did they not put Carl in the group in there with them, or did he?
Yeah, because they called it the ringleader, the samurai, and the boy. That's what they was calling them when they went in, because they went in one by one.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just real interesting, man. I don't know what's gonna happen next. We haven't really been here before in the comics. But I'm kind of excited to see, like, how they get out of this and who lives and who dies, because we're kind of getting at a glut of cast members now. And this is about when you had to start killing people off, because it's so many people. You know, I want to see what happens if they find out Eugene's a fraud, or, you know, what happens if, you know, like, if they do they decide to take over this place and stay there?
Right.
At Terminus, and you know, do other groups show up?
Right. And I wonder if they're going to go into Jesus, if they're going to go into,
well, that's so far down the line.
Well, yeah. Or, what is his name? The crazy dude that was cutting and stabbing everybody up with the, bat.
Oh, that's so, baby, that's so far down the line. Like,
okay. Oh, yeah.
That would be so many seasons from, I mean, maybe they skip forward to it. I don't know, but.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Neville is who you're talking about.
Right.
But, yeah, it would be interesting if they go there. I mean, definitely. You know, who knows is what we're saying.
Right.
Here, guys.
And I don't know, like, what the time frame is, you know, or if they might skip time. They might, you know, they might get to a point where they go in 5 years forward.
Yeah, maybe they're going to use them for hard labor. Like, right. Maybe they're not going to kill them. But who knows? What we do know is they are fucking with the wrong people, because if nothing else, this season has proven that Rick and them on the low are the people that you don't want to fuck with.
No, you do
they're the
not.
Ones that ran up into the governor's town and burned that bitch to the ground, killed that nigga when he rolled up on them at the prison with a tank. They still won.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still finding ways to get back together, even through all the odds. So keep staying in tune. We'll do another off-season review, I'm sure. Unless we make them deads or that, that dead or something like that.
A day walking.
Yeah, day walking, something like that. So until then, you guys have a good one. Thank you for listening. Peace out, premium people.